anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello, anomalies. Welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. My co-host Angela is expecting a baby any day now, and that means she's on anomalous maternity leave. But don't worry, we've done this before. I know the routine. I'll be posting a few panels we've recorded over the past few years at Austin Comic Con, and a few little mini interviews that we did while standing in line, stuff like that. Things that never got posted before. They'll be making an appearance in the feed very soon. Also, I have a few interviews up my sleeve and some guest hosts, one of which is my good friend Jenny McNiven from the Guide to Getting Dirty podcast. She's an archaeologist, and she's going to be helping me talk about some of the facts in a couple of your favorite sci-fi fantasy television shows and movies. I think we're going to be starting with Outlander, and we're going to be talking about Standing Stones. Today's episode is a panel from last year's Wizard World Austin Comic Con featuring Sean Astin. The show notes for this episode won't be available for a few weeks due to the fact that I'm overhauling the website. But you can still subscribe to our podcast and our website via the placeholder I have up right now. You can find our contact information and our social media outlets. As I said before, we have a lot of great stuff in the works for upcoming episodes. I think I'm going to be doing a few with Sith Jen. The Jens will be taking over the show, and we'll be talking about cosplay. I guess it was 2 years ago. We did a cosplay 101 episode where we talked about different things you have to keep in mind about measurements and things like that. And this episode, we're going to probably be talking more about that, only from more experience because we've been doing this longer. And I think I've convinced her to do tutorial videos like basic makeup and hair and how to measure yourself, things like that. Jen not only is an awesome nurse, but she actually has schooling in costume makeup and also fashion makeup and hair. She's like the Swiss Army knife of the Anomaly Podcast. Many of us are, but especially Jen. In the meantime, here's that Sean Astin panel. I'll be back in a little while to close the episode. Hope you enjoy.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com.
That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y.
Podcast.com.
This new system that's going to happen, and it was really fun. I mean, I flew into, I don't know, Long Island or wherever I was, in Jersey or something, and And you just put the uniform back on, and it was surreal just to be back in that, you know, in the helmet. The helmet was better. They had a better helmet than in the movie. In the movie, like, I don't know if you guys, maybe people play football, or I don't know if people play football, but the padding in football helmets now is so much better than it used to be. It used to be just this webbing kind of thing. You'd get hit, it was like a big piece of, you know, whatever that fiberglass thing is whacking in your head. So yeah, but aside from that, it was good, and all the extras are dressed up. It was fun. You got to see it. It's
a great commercial. It's on YouTube. It's a great commercial to be able to see on television. I got to chuckle out.
Does it have a title? I don't even know what the title is.
Rudy's Dream, I think.
Is it really?
He had a great speech. Like, this play was going to happen in 50 years.
We saw that on the field. That was fun, yeah.
That was really good. Season one of The Strain on FX. Just wrapping up. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Well, Corey and Mia and I had kind of a, we were the CDC. CDC's big news. So, anyways, we were the CDC team, right? We were supporting F, and it was fun. We got to really know each other and enjoy each other, you know. And Guillermo, of course, Guillermo del Toro is just a really special human being. So creative, so fun, so full of life and love, and you come in there and just gives you a great big hug. And the cool thing about it is, and it was like this with Lord of the Rings, there's an expectation of excellence when you come in. You know, I was thinking, what must it be like to be Peter Jackson or Guillermo del Toro when you walk into a room and people are so on the edge of their seat excited because you're so creative and wonderful, and what are you going to say now? There's got to be a lot of pressure. Is it like, it's a lovely day out, isn't it? but to see, like, they built this, what do you call it? It's a dummy, but it was like really sophisticated gel skin and stuff so we could do the autopsy on the pilot who was turning into a vampire. And that was really, there were several things about that experience that were really, really, like, genuinely creepy to me. Things that really gave you the little, you know, hair on the back of your neck standing up. So that was one. There was one night that I wasn't called at the beginning of the night. I was kind of halfway through. So when I got there, people were off doing something else. And I walked, I thought I was walking to the set for a rehearsal. And I come around the corner, and it's supposed to be the airport, the hangar right near the airport where they're putting all of the bodies. So I turn the corner, and there's like 250 body bags laid out in a row, and I just took my breath away because, you know, we all hear about these terrible incidents, but you never really see what the results of it are, and space and time are interesting, you know? It's like you think of a lot of casualties in a war, but when you lay them out in a row and you want to walk from one end to the other, you're walking past a person and another person and another, it just kind of just gives you a... It makes it real. That's the whole thing about Kevin. It's like it makes it real. It was very, very realistic at that moment. Vampires, whatever.
Well, speaking of realities, everybody's been waiting on a movie's remake, reboot, reimagination. That's always a topic of conversation.
Well, you can take the remake word out of your vocabulary because you can never remake the movies.
That's right.
I've talked to them a little bit more now than I ever have before, and it's very clear that they are determined to do it. They really, really want to do it. They're actively meeting with writers and looking for stories, and obviously the studio wants to do it, so I don't know what the magic formula is that's going to have to lock in order for them to, you know, start building sets, but it will happen.
Great. That's very good. Very good. Seen Sean do one of these panels at was World Comic Con? This is all you guys' first time with Sean?
I'm hilarious.
He really is.
Just so you know, just be prepared, all right? If you have anything in your hand, set it down, because the laughing, you have to hold your sides.
No, the best part is, without further ado, you got people waiting for questions. You're the best question taker and answer.
Yeah.
Give it down to a sign.
I do.
So,
I
want to go ahead.
Because I like the people. La gente. We're near Mexico.
Yeah.
I like la gente.
Let's not miss that.
Sure.
All right, let's get going.
Cool. I actually wanted to ask about Goonies 2. First off, is Cyndi Lauper on board to be soundtrack? And then secondly, seriously, where would you like to see that story go? If you were helping to write the script, what do you envision for the next generation of Goonies?
Well, good enough. Yeah, it won't be a Goonies sequel. Or the Goonies sequel won't be complete if Cyndi Lauper doesn't do something with the soundtrack. So I don't know what her thoughts are. She has good feelings or bad feelings. I'm sure she has good feelings about it. They're not at that phase yet, but, it's... How can it be? The sound. The music in Goonies is really easy to underestimate. But if you go to watch it, we just played it in Portland at a convention on a Friday night, and it was funny because it was a room like this, about half the size, something like that, and it was packed with adults, a few of whom, dragged their kids to see it. You will like this next thing. This is my childhood, so it has to be your childhood too. Right? You just want to see it. It's Dave Grusin's music. And when Cyndi Lauper sings that music, it's just so great. It's so great. The first time we heard it was in Hawaii, actually, when Jeff Cohen, who played Chunk, who is now, I'm on record as not liking the Truffle Shuffle, so I don't like it. It's mean. That's how I feel about it. Everybody else loves it. They love the Truffle Shuffle. I don't like the Truffle. But Jeff, who now is a successful entertainment lawyer, he was so funny. He would come to the set and just, doing different practical jokes and doing things. And at one point, because Dick Donner, who the director, who has this big barrel-chested voice, hip-hop, let's go, blah, blah, blah. That's how he's like, kids, it's happening. And you get this lovable quality, but you're also kind of scared of it. And he kept saying, I can't wait to get away from these brat kids and go to Maui. He had this house in Maui he wanted to go to. So one day, Jeff Cohen shows up, and he's dressed in tourist garb with the hat and the flower print shirt and the camera and everything. He's like, Dick, we're going to Hawaii with you! And Dick just thought that was hilarious, and he was rolling around. And then Steven Spielberg, the producer of it, got wind of what happened. And so when the film was over, he decided as a practical joke to surprise Dick by sending all of us to his beach house in Maui. So they arranged it so that he was out grocery shopping, and we sort of all showed up at his house, and we take over the drone. We're flipping over the couches, we're like putting magazines on the floor and tearing his clothes out and just demolishing it. And he comes home and almost had a heart attack. I mean, literally, science-play funny just to see this stupid Goonies in this Maui house. So, and then they had it where the Fratellis come up out of the water with Mama Fratelli. So that was pretty funny. And then they said, oh, this is what we're working on. And they played good enough for us. And you can just picture all of us with our puka shells on and our sandals, and everybody was tan all of a sudden. And it was great. So hopefully, Cyndi will do it again. And then in terms of the sequel, I have very specific ideas. I can't, but I will say that I had an epiphany when I was running on a treadmill in Killington, Vermont in 1997. The three-act structure for the sequel just popped into my head, and nobody ever wanted to hear it, really. My wife was patient. She wasn't alone. My idea won't ever happen, but at some point when the film does, I'll put it on paper, so if I get hit by a bus, heaven's forbid, to the extent you're still curious, after the sequel comes out, you can look at it and say, oh, that's what Mikey would have done. So there. But otherwise, I'll look forward to some DVD extra or some panel somewhere once it's all done.
Is now a good time to make everybody Goonies?
We did that last time, but it's changed since then. There was a formal oath that the Goonies had.
You guys want to be Goonies, right?
I don't know if I can. Let me see if I can find the formal.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever? People are on
Well, a friend. Today's. Oh, God. Bear with me. Well, let's answer questions when I get there. We'll do it. Yeah.
Sure.
But we can do the You're not supposed to bring it up. They're supposed to bring it up.
I'm sorry. I'm excited. You know.
You're already a goonie.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know that. You're in goonies purgatory now.
What's wrong? I'm excited to see it happen again.
It'll happen. All right. So who's that? Thank you for your question.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's absolutely awesome to have you here, and I just wanted to ask, is there a particular genre you love to work with?
Genre? What? Well, comedy. I like comedy. I don't know that I've gotten as much an opportunity to do comedy. I did one movie called And They're Off that was about a horse trainer, sort of the Rudy horse trainer. Sure. Well, he never got it. Oh no, he did get in the game, I guess. And it was one of these like best in show style mockumentary things, and I just loved every second of it. You know, you've got the script, which is the skeleton for the thing, but then any setting you're in, you just kind of let your brain go, let it go, and then you see what sticks, and I just love it. So I recommend that to anybody's attention who doesn't have much else to do. Sunday. Okay, I think I'm almost there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to?
Oh, it doesn't go back far enough.
What? Because you just got the 6, huh?
Yeah, 6+.
6+.
It's too big.
No,
it's too big. You get the middle one.
I still got the 5.
I'll hold it up so they can see you.
It looks cool, man.
It's great when you're like showing a video or something like that, but like you can see right now, I'm having a hard time. I need 2 hands. Alright, if you want to be a goonie, raise your right hand or repeat after me.
Hi. Hi.
Say your name.
Steve.
Every time. I was like, in Texas, they'll be their own people.
Hi. Hi.
Steve.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
To abide the Goondock faith.
To buy the good dog faith.
Congratulations, you're all good. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, Sean, thank you for coming here. We love you. It's awesome to have you finally in Austin.
Austin Comic Con. I think I've been in Austin like 3 times this year so far, but just not at the Comic Con. But I'm here now for you.
Thank you.
Because those rangers set me on fire and fly me close to the sun. Extraordinary wings. Are you Ingress? No, you're a Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix. This is awesome.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Dark Phoenix.
My question for you is, Sean, is you who put so much heart and love in every single character you play, we tend to forget that it's you and we see the character you're portraying. Because if any time there's Lord of the Rings, we think of Sam. We don't think of Sean. Put your heart into it. Same thing with Rudy and Mikey, even in the fun roles too that you also do. My question for you is, how do you get into your mind, your approach to portraying these characters with such heart and love and purity that we all hear just in awe of?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for a wonderful, wonderful compliment. Yeah, I guess you see Humphrey Bogart, you go like, there's Humphrey Bogart. It's Humphrey Bogart in all those different movies. Yeah, Harrison Ford. Yeah.
But we see Sam.
There was a period of time a few years ago where I really got sick of myself. I really did. You know, when you're an actor, the posters, the fans, you go on the set, then you see the movies, and you see the commercial. You can't help but be aware of what you're putting out there. And at a certain point, it just all felt the same to me. It all felt kind of bland and boring, and I didn't think I had much, just like in terms of where my voice was, much range or anything. I just was really, it was a kind of a crisis of confidence. I mean, I was thinking about, doing something else. And
please don't.
No. Nothing else makes us good. Compliments. I guess I never really learned an acting technique properly, like a that you study at the London School of Drama or something. You know, my parents are actors, and so they gave me different. Patty Duke is my mother. And John Astin, my father.
It's so great when your parents' names are applause lines. It's a pretty great thing, actually. I hope my kids get that.
Sean asked, oh.
I mean, courtesy, something. But so they each gave me a little something. My father, the skill or the approach that he instilled in me with the audition for Goonies is where it really started, was to just be honest. That when in doubt, you just try and be as real and authentic as possible. So, and it's a great get out of jail free card, because if you find yourself in any situation and you feel like you're a little head on your skis, you just try to be real. So there's a lot of other things that actors will do. You know, a lot of times you hear about it in terms of crying. You know, they'll have sense memories, or they'll go to a place in their mind where something bad happened in their life, and then they'll apply that there. The only thing I ever knew how to do was to look at the character from the character's point of view. You know, for Mikey, he wanted to, he wanted to save his family. And there's something about that, the tone of that, wanting to save your family, the earnestness of that, that I just felt like I could do. And so, you know, and the same thing for Rudy, they're really the same character. Mikey and Sam have a lot in common. They're leaders. You know, Sam might not be a leader per se, because he's the aide. You know, he's a friend.
But
Sam is a leader. He leads for the audience. He's leading by example. He's not complaining too much. He complains about a brace of cones and potatoes. But other than that, he's leading. He's doing. He's picking stuff up. He's carrying it. He's cooking it. He's protecting it. He's fighting against it. He's a leader by example. Mikey's a leader. He finds this map. He wants to go lead. The Goonies follow him. You know, Rudy is the last guy on the bench. You know, everyone else is actually playing the game. You know, he's a loser, if you look at it from one point of view. But on behalf of all the people who really want to play, he's a leader. So there's something about that wanting to lead quality that just resonates with me that I want to do it. And I would have to say that to the extent that I really disappear in the roles, first of all, it's a great compliment for an actor, because you don't want to be, you know, it depends on what you are. Sometimes you make, other actors have quality. They have quality. It's very, you know, Julia Roberts. She's always Julia Roberts. You know, even Matt Damon, who's a wonderful actor, he does disappear into his roles in a certain way, but you feel like you know him. You feel like you know him, Matt Damon. I do when I watch it. To me, I really do believe that people don't know who I am. They tell me all the time, like, I had no idea that was you. I finished that movie, and they said, oh, that's the same guy who was Doug in 50 First Dates. You're like, what? Like, yeah. So I think it's a good compliment to be able to dive in like that and live it. But anyhow, I might be thinking about that one playing home. Thanks for that question. Well, thank you. Thank you all for that. Thank you.
But I won't digress a little bit more. Let's go to the next question. Okay.
Thank you for being here today. And I just wanted to ask you, so your favorite genre is comedy, as you said. So what is, like, your funniest moment that you've ever had working on a movie?
Okay, so do you mean funniest moment, like, behind-the-scenes type moment, or famous, like, on-screen comedic moment?
Either one.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't throw me a bone on that one. Now I gotta search the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere of the brain. Oh, I don't know. I played Big Girl in this movie called Stay Cool, which is what I'm way older than you, but in my day, they write on your yearbook at the end of the school year, you know, hey, it was great to meet you, stay cool.
Yearbook.
Yeah, but you didn't write Stay Cool.
Something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Be Cool. That's totally different. So Stay Cool was the, like, this thing. So anyhow, so I played Big Girl. They bleached my hair blonde, and I had all these flowing clothes on. Oh, come on, that kind of thing. So I got to be sort of like Nathan Lane for a little bit. That was really fun. I'm free associating right now. I refuse to be held accountable for this answer. But there was one, we were supposed to sing a song, and I was learning. Oh, it's just, what was the
songs and great 80s classic songs. Oh, no, I can't remember. Anyhow, it was really, really fun flinging pancakes around and just being swishy. Swishy, and I had fun doing that. But there's, like, the horse movie, there's so many. I love the, like, Father Like Son. Nobody ever really talks to me about, like, Father Like Son. Do you guys know what that movie is? Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore. It was one of the early brain switching movies. And my character, Trigger, his name was Trigger, and he says to the beautiful one, you know, I was in the horse. Like one of those kind of things. 16, 18, 20. So, you know, there's a scene where they switch brains and looking back. I've been blessed to have a lot of funny moments. I wish I could pull them out. If you started me off on one, I could keep going.
Encino Man.
Yeah. A classic, Miami. We had fun on that one. Holly was still there. Holly said, we need you, bro. He travels a lot. I think he was just here in Austin, actually. Somebody told me they saw him at something or other in Austin. Brendan Fraser and I played video games over. That was fun. Remember when they stapled him out with the board? That was fun. They had to put a bicycle seat. Like just the small bicycle seat drilled into the wall so I could kind of have something to sit on, because otherwise you kind of staples in a movie, they don't really hold you up like that. You'd have to really staple somebody down good and important. So I don't know, I think of all these crazy things. Something funny on, okay, here's funny on Encino Man. There's a scene where we have a Mousterian bowl, a big thick wooden bowl that is an artifact, historical artifact. We have it, and I think Paulie throws it or somebody throws it, and I go diving to catch it so it doesn't break and land in the swimming pool that we've dug out and discover the caveman. So this is hilarious. So what happened was there was a wheelbarrow, and I go running and on the wheelbarrow. They dug like a 6-foot deep hole, and they put the camera down in there, and the camera crew was in there, so the camera was kind of under the ground looking up, and then they put a big pad to dive onto. So I go running and I jump off the thing and I dive over and I catch it. Kind of like Guido the Killer Pimp in Risky Business. Remember that one where he's going at the end of the movie? He throws the bowl and Tom Cruise has to catch it. It was a quote of that movie, I think. Anyhow, so I do it and I do it and I do it and we do it and it's great. It goes 6 takes, it's perfect, right? But I still, when I'm looking at back on the monitor, I'm seeing that I'm still looking where I'm putting my foot. And I think it'll look cooler if I'm looking over my shoulder when I step on it. So I go run and I do it and I plant my foot and my foot slips and I fall and my face cracks on the side of the wooden edge of the thing. Oh. Hilarious, right?
Looking back.
So yeah, that was bad. So they had, yeah, looking back, they sent me to the eye doctor to make sure my eye thing wasn't. So it was fine. I was okay. I could come back the next day. So now we're going to do the second half of that, which is landing on the ground. And I land on the ground and I see ice and I kind of move it there and it's a what do you call it, like a, yeah, big ice break thing, and he's in the, and so we discover it. So they bury this plastic looking ice thing and they hand me the most heavy 4-pound heavy Mousterian bowl, and I want to make it look really good, so I dive in, like we practice it a bunch of times, and I dive in and the camera's right there, so I land like my face right in the camera. So I dive in. Finally, I really want to get a lot of air. So I dive and I'm holding the heavy bowl. And I land and the bowl hits the plastic ice bubble and knocks up and hits my thing. And literally like a Bugs Bunny egg. Just like that.
I just showed your commitment.
Showed commitment. So then the next day, I show up. And in the dressing room is a crash helmet from the studio. That's not what selling out means. Right. I kind of sold out both ways.
Before I ask my question, can you say Mikey and Raphael's voice for my girlfriend?
Mikey? Come on! Wait, what's your name?
Walter.
Walter? Don't you see? Let's go case and shut up.
I auditioned for it. I was working on Special Agent Oso at the time.
Special Agent Oso? That's all part of the plan.
Really?
I got 8, 6, and 2.
Yeah.
So come
two,
on.
Yeah.
Special Agent Oso.
You kind of sound a little like Mr. Dose right there.
Mr. Dose?
Anyhow, so I just finished a recording of that, and I got the car, and my agent called and said, hey, they're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at Nickelodeon, and do you want to play Raphael? I was like, yeah. He's like, great. If you drive right now, you can audition for him. So I was like, okay. So and apparently they had cast everybody else, and they were down to the wire, and I came in, and there was like 7 or 8 people in the room, and they were all looking at me like I brought in dessert. Before I said anything. And so I go to do it, and everything I said, they were just laughing and roaring. They just thought it was the best. And the more somebody feeds back to you that what you're doing is right, the more comfortable you feel doing it. So I knew I had that part when I walked out of there. I called my agent and said, that's me. There's no question about it. He's like, well, all right, we'll check. I said, there's no checking. I said, it's 100% no more. It's done. So he called me back later. He's like, you're right. You got it. You start this week.
Can I be selfish? If you don't mind, I'll actually have a question for you. Because I have a brother who's actually an actor. He's been pursuing acting in small roles here and there out in L.A. for a long time.
Younger.
I'm 35, he's 33. I'm curious about what you said, audition for it. Do you audition for parts and still don't get them even to this day? And when you do...
I mostly audition for parts that I don't get. The ratio is not flattering.
In your profession, your track record, you're like, man.
You said the word, a profession. You're a professional. You're a professional. Not always easy, and it's not always fun, and you don't always get what you want. But you know your thing, and you do your thing. And disappointment is part of the profession, so you just gotta, when you've experienced so much of it, it doesn't hurt as bad. It's just gonna, you build up a time. It's like iodine powdering, Prince's Bride. It's relative to who you are and where you're at in your life. If you're struggling and you decide to put yourself out on a limb, and I don't know what your brother does, but if he's not making a living as an actor, he's probably doing something else.
And waiting.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what? At a certain point, you feel probably like a woman's biological clock. It's like something's ticking. It's supposed to happen.
Honestly, that's kind of what he's going.
Yeah, well, you know what? You'd be 70 years old and give a great... Ask Hugh Cronin when he was 70 what it was like to be an actor. The thing is you feel other people's pressure. And so if you get it's also directly relative to your sense of need or passion or want for it. If you want something so bad, and you don't get it, it hurts. So it's actually kind of sad, because if you can get yourself into a slot where you care the right amount, it's a little sad for the world, because you're like, that's what you have to do for self-preservation. You have to not care too much. It doesn't mean you're not putting, to the first question, you put your whole heart and soul and everything into it. But the other thing is, too, you got to know, like, I'll go up for something, and I'll know I'm not really right for it. You'll think, like, I could do this, or this might be a good reason to do this, and, we can probably make it work, and this is a reason why it might be interesting to make it work. But you go in there, and you're just not right for it. Or you're just not what they're looking for. And that's, sometimes you can change it. You can become the thing they're looking for by being just you. But disappointment and heartbreak are just a part of it. You just have to, I do other things. I like directing. I like, I've got a radio show. I've got, I'm a runner. I'm going to run the Marine Corps Marathon in 3 weeks in Washington, D.C. 5 months of training. I'm going to pay off here in 43 days. So I do all those things, and then somehow when it's time to act, I focus on what I need to focus on for the period of time I need to focus on it, then do that, and then go somewhere else. There'll be times I'll forget to call and see how I did on it. If they call you, then you did great. If they don't, then you didn't. So,
obviously the best at home.
Yeah, but just make sure that he knows that the pressure, you notice in life, you meet somebody like, you two should go out. And then you start going like, you two should get married. You're like, you get married. You two should have a baby. You have a baby. Is your kid in kindergarten? Is it, are they playing football now? Or are they in college? we can never be happy for people in the moment. We've always got to anticipate what the next thing is that they might be doing.
Yeah.
And don't let other people's feelings about who you are in your moment, in his moment in life right now, you know, keep a healthy perspective about the fact that that's other people's thing, right, and not your thing.
Good. I'll hold everybody together. Thank you for talking. Lightning round. It's got a 10-minute heads up. Want to do lightning round now?
First of all, I think Lord of the Rings should have had a subtitle that said The Story of Sam.
Well, in a way, it sort of was The Story of Sam.
It was.
The rest of them go off to the Grey Haven. Sam gets to have 15 children and be mayor of the Shire. He's cool.
Second, from The Strain. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's my wife. Give me a break.
Really? No. No, he's just that.
Oh, then I'm.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to go.
Really? Raise your hand if you. Well, if you're in this panel, aren't you? What's the rule on spoiler alerts?
I'm not going to do it.
I won't say season one, but I will tease this, that I am the first of everyone to adopt a new method of fighting vampires.
That's right.
So I will say that. And there's a cool picture, or at least I think there's a cool picture of me doing that, that I would love at some point to be able to offer a fan to the convention setting. But anyhow, yeah, really.
Really?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity with my two daughters to enjoy movies that I can enjoy with them and not have to worry about any language that's inappropriate or anything. I know that's becoming hard nowadays, but thank you.
I like doing all kinds of movies, but we did Mom's Night Out, which was essentially a Christian film. It was Christian filmmakers with a, I think the Christian message that's in it isn't too proselytizing for an audience. They try to have it be a crossover type movie, but a lot of people came up to me and said how much they appreciated that they knew they could go into that movie and expect that. And you know, that's why I love doing the animation stuff. Or at least some animation is pretty raunchy, but you know what you're going to get with Raphael and the turtles. But yeah, I have a different philosophy with my kids. I have three daughters, Allie, Elizabeth, and Isabella.
How old?
Allie will be 18 next month.
Oh.
They're all getting older in the same range. And then Elizabeth is 12 and Isabella is 9. And my philosophy, and by the way, it takes two in our, there's two parents in our family. So my wife has the no vote, and the no vote usually wins, right? But my philosophy is that they can watch anything they want to watch. Anything. With the caveat that they have to sit on the couch with me for as long as I feel is necessary in a conversation until I feel that they've interpreted what they've seen and internalized it in a way that's helpful for them. So I think it certainly is... I guess we both do die for the channel change when some things come on to change it when they're on there. But the kids are kind of self-regulating too. They don't want to watch things that are too scary, and if there's something that's sultry or inappropriate in that manner, they sort of are the first to tell me that they weren't supposed to be watching that. So.
Praise them right.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to say, and I want to sit down because I'm here, is your parents.
Yeah.
I grew up enjoying your parents.
Me too.
Did you get a chance to actually watch them in real life on stage and learn their habits and everything? And was there anything that your mom told you that you really took to value whenever you do this?
Yeah.
And thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you. My mom's advice to me, there's lots of things. Two things specific that she said, acting on camera specific things. One, she said, hit your mark and say your line. Important. I should be like really interesting and have lots of like, you know, ability to say stuff, but when it gets right down to it, it's a business and people, it costs money to have the cameras and the people and the thing and whatever. You need to know how to hit your mark and say your line. The other thing she always said to me was, be better off camera than on camera. So when you do a scene with two people and they come around to do your colleagues close up, be better for them. Give, be giving to them. Be better for them than you are for yourself. So that I thought that was pretty great advice. And then tons of stuff. My dad does a lot of theater, so we can see him whenever we want. He's doing theater all the time. All right, we should probably skip to the...
Yeah, we're under 5 minutes. I got a bit of it for you.
Lightning round.
All right, so just, if you want to find somebody to do it.
Ask your question. Ask your question. I'm not going to answer it right away. I'm going to wait until I get all six people that are left, questions, or seven, and then I'll try and answer as much of everyone's questions as I can in the allotted time. Sound good? Okay, this is my way. So it's usually they tap the line, people are disappointed, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, okay. Ask your question.
Go right ahead.
Thank you for being here, first of all. Do you have a favorite role that you did, and if so, which one?
Favorite role and which one?
Are there any particularly memorable moments that you have from the Lord of the Rings series?
Lord of the Rings? Yes, sir.
You're a really gifted actor and a very good voiceover actor. And thank you for doing a rap. That was hilarious. As far as voice acting, has that been a big impact to your career?
Hi, Sean. I'm Melanie. And my question today is, well, first I want to say that Samwise Gamgee was the real hero in Lord of the Rings, in my opinion.
Woo!
But I also wanted to know, why is there not a pop figure, vinyl figure, of Samwise? I really want one. I didn't can't find one online or anything.
Yeah, hi. Love the Ninja Turtles. I hope it goes on for many, many more seasons. Quick question. Comic book movies, super huge now. Have you been trying to get into any of them? And are you planning on trying to get into any comic book movies coming up?
Hi, I'm Genevieve, and I love all your movies, and I was wondering, what are your daughter's favorite movies?
And last but not least.
I was wondering which one's your favorite Lord of the Rings movie to make.
Okay. Got it all.
Good question. Okay. Favorite role is an impossible question to answer, so usually I try and kind of triangulate what we're looking for there. You know, the three signature, you know, Mikey, Rudy, Sam are the ones that I'm most known for. I love to play Two Flower in The Color of Magic. That was one of my favorite parts ever. I just loved it. I loved it. Being the naive, open-eyed tourist for the... Yeah, I love that one. So it's called The Color of Magic, and it was in English. We did it in England based on a series of English books. And Two Flower. I like Two Flower. That'll be my answer for now. I might change it tomorrow. Okay. Lord of the Rings' favorite moments and memories. Gosh, there's you know, the one I always talk about is, you know, my daughter Allie, who's 18 now, was three then. In the last shot, the last scene of the last film, Eleanor, the little 3-year-old Eleanor, comes running down the path to meet Sam when he returns to the Shire, to Hobbiton, and that was my daughter. So, yeah, it was nice that they let her do that. That was pretty cool. And she, while the feet were a little uncomfortable, she and her hair took forever to do, the little Goldilocks hair bouncing curl things. She had a great time, and she remembers it vividly. And so having my wife and daughter with me the whole time would be the thing there. The helicopters were pretty great, too. Voiceover acting. I probably had 4,952 auditions for voiceover jobs without getting a single one. It wasn't until we got back from Lord of the Rings where I had done a lot of voice training to play Samwise Gamgee with a hometown. You know how he sounds. That didn't come so easily, all right? Oh, I got to tell her. We're in Texas, so I got to tell this one. So there's one night we're doing the Black Rider, is the, you know, guy on the horse with the big, with the, you know, the ring range or whatever, and he's chasing the hobbits, and it's Buckleberry Ferry. We get to the place, it's foggy, and there's a bridge that they've made, and a light, and the whatever he's called, the guy who's in charge of the ferry, whatever, the ferry guy, yeah. That guy. Wasn't a lot of help with the horse. Okay. Anyhow, so we had two dialect coaches, Andrew Jack and Roisin Carty. And Andrew Jack and Roisin was working with us that night. And they were there all the time. Every time Samwise opened his mouth, somebody was there to make sure it didn't sound stupid. So, unintentionally stupid. So, the old gay toes. You guys can put that one. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a So, there's certain things you have to hit. If you don't do it when I'm sitting here, then it's like I've not gone to a con. Okay. So the line is, G-E-T-D-O-W-N. Get down is how we would say it, right? Samwise would say, get down. Get down. So we do the scene, and I yell, get down. And we do a second and a third take, and Roisin, this little Irish one, lady, comes up to me afterwards, and she said, Sean, if that one went a bit, get down! So anyway, after training with those people, literally physically, you know, we had a bus, we'd go into this little thing, and they would teach us. We'd look at charts, and we'd study the mouth, and learn how to work with your diaphragm and breathing, and it really was an amazing gift to give me this, you know, primer on that your instrument. And so I started booking a lot of jobs when I got back, and I was really grateful for that. And I love doing it. I'm getting to work with some of the great voiceover actors. Rob Paulson, obviously, one of the Rob is just great, and a lot of them. You start to realize that there's this wonderful community of people with talent that aren't necessarily observable. People who aren't like you. You guys know that, but a lot of people don't. And I didn't really appreciate it fully until I started doing it. So there's that. Comic book movies. Always want to be in comic book movies. I haven't searched any out lately. I do know that it's not a comic book, but Star Wars, you know, they're doing a lot of Star Wars movies, so I don't know if, like, R2-D2 had an uncle or something. But I don't think they're going to cast me as a Wookiee, if you know what I mean. My daughter's favorite movies, you know, we all love watching Hitch together. You guys ever watch Hitch? Yeah. He's
Kevin James,
yeah. I can start acting it out, but I won't. They make me watch romantic comedies all the time. And but we also watch a lot of you didn't ask about television, but we watch a lot of sitcoms together, actually. It's one way that we really, really bond. We watch, and I'm sure I'm going to parent jail, but we watch Friends, and we used to watch Will and Grace, and then we watched How I Met Your Mother, and Big Bang Theory we love, and Brooklyn, is it Brooklyn 99? So inappropriate to watch the new show. We love it. So those things, Maleficent, they flipped out over Maleficent. They absolutely flipped out of that movie. So they took me to it, and I loved it too. I thought Angelina Jolie just looked like she was having a blast. So good for her. I don't know. I crossed it out. Right? Who asked the very last question? It was a girl. Daughter's favorite movies, yeah. Favorite Lord of the Rings movie. The third one. Really, we made them all as one movie. You know, we filmed them all at the same time. We would be filming scenes from the end of the third, beginning of the first, in any given day, or all three films in any given day. So, but there are moments that I love, moments that are Samwise's moments, and then moments that are other people's moments. I cry a lot, like Haldir, when Haldir comes to Helm's Deep and he tells them that he's come to honor the alliance between elves and men. Cry every time. When Aragorn kneels before the hobbits, and says, my friends, you kneel before no one.
Love that part.
Gets me every time.
Sam lifting Frodo!
What about Frodo?
Sam lifting Frodo!
Sam lifting Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can't carry you?
Yeah.
That's pretty great. I'll finish on the spot here. I do this in every one. It's kind of a trope now for me to do. And I don't really do it all, but I just do a little piece of it. But basically, in the end of The Two Towers, when Sam and Frodo and Gollum are in the ruins of Osgiliath ruins, and the fell beast, the Nazgul guys, flying off, and there's a moment, a speech that Sam gets to give was not in the original movie. It was actually written, it was kind of found in response to the 9/11 tragedy and the mood of the world in the months after that. And so, so the signature speech of my career is when he's looking out and he says, you know, it's like in the great tales, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really matter. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They were holding on to something. And Frodo says, what are we holding on to, Sam? He sometimes is if there's some good left in the world, Mr. Farrell, and it's worth fighting for. That, like, you gotta love that one. But that's the second film I said, I don't know, it's up to you.
And Jen want to hear from you. Call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message.
I really enjoyed that panel. I think I attended it with, I think it was just me and Rico and possibly Sith Jen who went to that panel. I don't know. It's all a blur. It was like one of the last panels that weekend and I was sick. And I think that Rico had to talk me into going to it. But I'm really glad I went because what a down-to-earth guy. He genuinely enjoyed being there and enjoyed talking to the fans. He even had a system to try to answer as many questions as he could. I thought that was super cool of him. And wasn't that a quote that he did from The Lord of the Rings awesome? He even did it in Sam's accent. Something I'll probably always remember is sitting in on that panel and listening to him talk about his experiences with the various movies that I've seen, which, by the way, I liked Encino Man at the time. I don't think he copped out doing it. It wasn't the best, but it was good for the time, I think. I don't know. As a high school student, I enjoyed it. I don't know about you. So that's that. Thank you for listening. And like I said, you can find us at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And you can contact us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. You can also call our automated comment line at 432-363-4742. That's 432-363-4742. And automated means that we're not going to pick up the phone and talk to you. It's just a recording. So don't worry. Just keep it brief because it might cut you off after probably about 3 or 4 minutes. Don't tell me anything about Agent Carter. Haven't seen it. Don't have TV. Dang it. Anyway, you can also follow me. I'm the one that controls the Anomaly Twitter machine. At Anomaly Podcast. A-N-O-M-A-L-Y-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. Also, we have a Facebook fan page where Angela posts every day. And then we have a Facebook group, which is kind of like our forum. And there are a lot of cool people there. We're always talking and communicating and sometimes debating about stupid things and fun things and very serious things. Make sure you join that. It's an open community, but you have to ask to get in. Because we like to block the spammers. There's a lot of spammers trying to get in. And they seem to all have the same kind of picture. Remember glamour shots? If you've seen Napoleon Dynamite, then you probably know what glamour shots is. Remember his friend, the girl who took pictures and she had them like place their fist on the side of their chin and turn their head a certain way? That was a thing when I was in high school, glamour shots, yeah. Anyway, all the spammers seem to have glamour shot pictures of themselves, their profile pictures. It's a dead giveaway. And they seem to all have a first name as their first and last name. Certainly not suspicious at all. I mean, if one person does, that's one thing, but all the spammers have a first name for their first and last name. Okay, so I'm going to shut up now. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Anomaly. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends, tweet or share a link, and spread the anomalous word. Stay up to date on all that's Anomaly by visiting anomalypodcast.com. Subscribe to our shows through iTunes, Zune, through Stitcher Smart Radio, and wherever podcasts are found. Please support the Anomaly you love by becoming an official sponsor of the Anomaly podcast or consider a monthly donation. All donations go towards hosting and podcast upgrades. If you can't afford to support us through sponsorship or donations, no worries. You can help us out by rating or reviewing our show through iTunes, Zune, or Stitcher Smart Radio. Those stars help a lot. The original Anomaly theme song and outro are by Angela's husband, Jim, and his old punk band, The Illuminati.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Hello there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
All right, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the present... Mark.
All right, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at the http://waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
I'm not.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.